Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Robin Simmons, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Zurich, Switzerland. He also teaches in Brig, Switzerland. He's been an Alexander teacher for over 40 years. He trained in London with Walter Carrington, and I believe he taught in London for a while before moving to Switzerland. He also runs a training, an Alexander Technique training course in Zurich, Switzerland. And we're going to talk today about the Alexander Technique and Tai Chi and how those two fields relate, how the Alexander Technique could be useful for a Tai Chi practitioner, and possibly the reverse of that. Robin, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Robert, for inviting me.
Well, it's good to talk to you this morning. I wonder if you could give our listeners a very short definition or description of the Alexander Technique.
Well, the Alexander Technique is a personal, psychophysical, self-awareness technique that can be applied at every moment of living. It develops consciousness of mind-body unity, of the self, and particularly raises our personal kinesthetic sensory awareness. So it's relevant as a technique for improving performance of any kind. So that's why it's well known by musicians and sports people, even at Olympic level. And it's also relevant in helping people who have difficulties with the body, pain, poor posture, things like that. Has powerful therapeutic effects, but it's always to be remembered it's a psychophysical technique and more than a therapy, because it's a continuous learning process.
Mm-hmm. And when you say psychophysical, maybe another way of putting that would be it's about how the way you think affects how you move. That would that be another
absolutely
version of that? And as you say, it's applicable to a huge range of activities, and obviously, among them are the martial arts, and among the martial arts are Tai Chi. I wonder if you could say a little then about how someone who is studying Tai Chi or teaching Tai Chi, what might be some reasons for them to explore the Alexander Technique as well?
Well, I've been working with Tai Chi since 1969, and so I've more or less had a parallel working with both Tai Chi and Alexander Technique. And I would always I've always found from the beginning that Tai Chi and Alexander Technique are very harmonious. I began Tai Chi after I'd started my Alexander training, but the most important initial significant connection is the way in which the mind-body unity is relevant in Tai Chi, just as it is in Alexander work. You need, at the beginning of your Tai Chi practice, to pause before you begin and pay attention to the body as one unit. And paying attention like that unifies your mind and body at that time. And you need to continue this through the Tai Chi practice, and practicing Tai Chi, in fact, does develop just that awareness. So that's the fundamental point. And then the other point that's very relevant in both Tai Chi and Alexander Technique is the lengthening spine, the uprightness, the way your body is held during practicing Tai Chi would be something that Alexander Technique would definitely help with. I've come across some Tai Chi practitioners who rather overemphasize relaxation, and they tend to sort of slump as they're practicing. Mm-hmm. And that's not really a good idea with Tai Chi. The classical writings of Tai Chi do emphasize the need for an upright attitude. And they use images in Tai Chi to try and help people to understand what they're trying to get at. They do talk about attaching a string to the top of your head, which, of course, is something we don't want to do with Alexander Technique. Alexander discovered something far more subtle than that. But at the same time, the Tai Chi people also speak about thinking of hanging a weight on the tailbone. So one can see what they're trying to get at. They're trying to get a tendency for the spine to lengthen. Now, Alexander's sophisticated view of this, of course, is something that could be very helpful in practicing Tai Chi in that way.
Right. And before we go on about those specific connections, you mentioned that some Tai Chi instructors, in the name of relaxation, end up slumping a bit. I would have guessed that the more likely pattern would be over straightening, but I might be wrong about that. That would be the greatest tendency.
That's not my experience. The point is that since in Tai Chi you are moving the whole body all the time, you are very much going very much aware of how you're using your arms, where your feet are, how your legs are arranged. And so since you're so conscious of much of the body, more than many people are normally in everyday activities, I don't think over straightening is an issue so much. In my experience, it is the collapsing that's often the problem. So there are some instructions in Tai Chi where they ask you to tuck the tail in, and of course what people do in response to that is over tuck it in effectively. You know, Alexander was very clear that when you give people verbal instructions, you really want to notice what they make of them, because what they make of them is usually very personal. Words mean what they do. And if they do the wrong thing, that's not very helpful.
And when you say words mean what they do, they mean what the person does in response to those words, right?
Exactly.
And as Alexander discovered pretty early on in his teaching, and as I think any Alexander teacher discovers within a day or so of teaching, what you ask of your student is not, and with their best intentions of fulfilling that request, often varies dramatically from what you had in mind. That words are tricky, and I think Alexander even said at one point, one of his aphorisms was, be careful of the printed word, it may not mean what you think it does, something like that.
As he was, exactly.
He was very aware of language, the limitations of language.
That's right. And this is, in Tai Chi, you see, they use images quite a bit. And they, although they might have some limitations, they do have some, I think, advantages. I mean, one of them, for example, is that you're supposed to consider your body is suspended from your head like a piece of cloth held up. Well, that's quite a useful image, because it indicates that you are upright and yet relaxed, you see. And so, as I said earlier about the weight hanging off your tailbone, they also have other things like, the arms are supposed to be like hair moving in water. Well, if you have this image of hair in water, you can see that the arms are not going to dominate the action. They're going to follow. And in fact, one of my Chinese teachers, Dr. Qi Chang Dao, he famously said, in Tai Chi, no arm move. Well, of course, he was Chinese. His English wasn't very good. But one understood what he meant by this. It wasn't that no arm was actually going to move at all. It was simply going to follow the main framework of the body. And this, again, is one of these links to the technique, because in the Alexander technique, we do have a hierarchy of instructions to ourselves. You know, the head-neck-back relationship. The back lengthening and widening comes first, and then you talk about arms and legs coming, as it were, secondarily, or later on anyway.
Alexander was the master at figuring out a key intervention points for changing the way you function. But I'd like to get back to this sort of general question of Tai Chi and Alexander technique having many of the same goals and almost the same principles. I have a colleague who is also, he's an Alexander teacher and also pretty far advanced in one of the Tai Chi schools. And he, at one point, wrote a little article that was published in the house organ of that branch of Tai Chi. To me, it seemed pretty innocuous. He just said, you know, people who are doing Tai Chi might want to explore the technique for this and that reason. And he got a lot of flack for that, mainly based on... Actually, he didn't get flack from his teacher. He got flack from other practitioners. And the main focus of that was... why would someone need to go somewhere else when Tai Chi kind of has it all? And I think the analogy would be if someone published an article in an Alexander magazine and said, you know, studying Tai Chi would really help your Alexander practice. I can imagine a lot of Alexander teachers saying, why? We've got a really good system that applies to everything.
Yes.
How would you respond to those people who took some issue with his article?
Yes, I have come across this myself a little bit. The thing is that we're talking about different things here. Tai Chi is an art, a choreography. The moves are traditional. They've been practiced for hundreds of years. Certainly, as it were, hidden in the Tai Chi instructions, you can see important elements of what Alexander discovered. But Alexander didn't come along until 1894 with his discoveries. And so you can see why some of the Tai Chi people think, well, you know, here's this Johnny come lately who's got something that has any relevance for us. But of course, the point is that in Tai Chi, say, for example, at the beginning of Tai Chi, you're supposed to glance down to the floor when you're doing the solo practice. I have to emphasize, of course, Tai Chi is many things. It's not just the solo practice. There's working in pairs. And in fact, there are about 10 different kinds of practice within Tai Chi. But we come back to that in a minute. The point there is that when you look to the floor, your gaze slightly falling, not too much. You're slightly forward rotating your head, very slightly. And if you combine that in your awareness with this uprightness hanging your body from your head, you see, as an Alexander person, one could understand that they're trying to get at the primary control of Alexander, but they haven't really clarified it as Alexander does. So that, for me, would be a kind of answer. And of course, the only answer for these people is to take hold of them and give them an Alexander experience, and that would maybe help them.
Right. Yeah. And you mentioned, for example, the imagery that's used in Tai Chi can be very useful, but has its limitations, and some of that imagery may not be that useful. A string drawing your head up. Which we have to say, though, has been used at times by various Alexander technique teachers. It's not, I personally think it's not a good idea, but I had a teacher who taught that for some time when I was in London. And, of course, the fundamental problem with that is that it assumes that you know, A, where to attach that imaginary string, and B, what up is exactly, and that you can make infinitesimal adjustments in both of those split second by split second as you move, which, of course, is just not the case. But it is an image that can seem to be effective in that it can bring about a significant change, but it certainly doesn't match the sophistication, in my view anyway, of the Alexander approach to upness, I guess I'd phrase it.
I absolutely agree with you, Robert. And you see, the point about these images is that you need the person there in front of you to see what they interpret by what you say with your words, coming back to the same point as we mentioned before. But the string, I don't want to get diverted by the string, but the images that are mostly useful in an Alexander context, I think the one about the arms is useful. Mm-hmm. I think the one about paying attention to the body as one unit and having the body hanging from the head like a piece of cloth is useful. I mean, it may be irrelevant for many people, but it might be relevant for some. Mm-hmm. But I think that the point underlying it all, in my opinion, is that you can bring Alexander technique to Tai Chi much more than you can bring Tai Chi to Alexander technique. And that's my experience of over 40 years of working with both of them. Mm-hmm. They're both wonderful things to do. And yet, Tai Chi is a choreographed form. It's not a freestyle, you know, do anything type activity. These moves are traditional and organized. Okay, there are many different traditions, but Alexander is relevant for every single moment of movement in every moment of your life. Mm-hmm. That's much more fundamental.
Mm-hmm. I wonder whether part of the issue here is that, well, certainly if you look at videos of really highly trained Tai Chi teachers who've been through a very traditional process where they've learned with a master and apprentice or however it's done, a lot of them, from an Alexander point of view, are moving incredibly well. And, you know, their movements are beautiful, efficient, smooth, easy. And to some extent, of course, someone studying with such a person, even just for a few classes, will absorb some of that just by watching them. But that transfer is a little iffier than the kind of transfer that goes on with an Alexander technique teacher and his or her student, in that the teacher has not only their own self to display, which may or may not be really good, they have a way of thinking about movement, of some very useful word phrases to use to teach a student, and of course they have the use of their hands to gently guide a student in the direction they want. And I think maybe to a certain extent that's missing from the Tai Chi teaching process.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, you're right. Of course, you're doing a choreographed sequence in Tai Chi. And of course, if you look at somebody like Chen Manqing, you are looking at a master in action. There are films. I have films of Chen Manqing.
I've seen those. Yeah, where he has people attacking him from various angles, and he just kind of tosses them off. It's quite amazing. Yeah,
in that group, in fact, in that film, is my teacher Dr. Chi. He's there in the group.
He's one of the attackers.
No, he's one in the group, the big group at the end. We know that Alexander technique has something special and different. However, I think both are wonderful things to do. And I think it's a pity that there's any kind of idea that one is sort of better than another. They can help each other to some extent. For example, take another simple physical process of the knee action in Tai Chi. Now, when I was taught, I was told, send your knee out to the outside of your foot. That's to say, the knee goes in the direction of the little toe when you're bending your knee to move forward. And the reason I was given for this is that then the knee stops. There's a natural arrestation of the movement behind the toe, so the knee doesn't go out over the end of the toe. The ligament stops it. And this is important in the working with a partner. It's a kind of self-defense aspect. Now, Alexander, of course, was very concerned that we should direct our knees forward and away. Now, if you bring that understanding, that subtlety of rotation into it from the Alexander technique, I think you'll make a better job of your knee going to the outside of your little toe. You see what I'm trying to get at? This is the kind of thing where it's helpful. I think we want to focus on what's helpful, not what's in conflict.
I wonder, we're probably kind of coming to the end of our time for this. Would you be comfortable giving a one or two sentence sort of summation of why someone who is studying Tai Chi or teaching Tai Chi might want to at least have a lesson or two from an Alexander teacher to see what they have to offer?
I can only say that this would be relevant for anybody. That's to say, the experience you get from a good Alexander lesson is unique. You can't kind of describe it so easily because it's something highly individual. And I think that to really understand how to be upright in a free flowing way with the whole body lengthened and yet loose, available to do whatever you want to do in an easy manner, can't be of anything except good use and value to a Tai Chi practitioner of any kind. There are other philosophical links. I mean, the end gaining, a very important aspect of Alexander technique. Non-end gaining, very much a Tai Chi idea, not used in the same language. They don't use this end gaining as part of their vocabulary at all. But it's there very much in the way Tai Chi is performed. So there's another one of these links. So just to throw that in at the end. But that's my answer to that.
Right. And just to clarify, end gaining in the Alexander technique means, it's a term that Alexander coined to mean that people tend to, when they want to do something, just do it without paying a lot of attention or any attention to the means by which they do the action. So if the phone rings, you just want to get up and answer it. That's your end. And Alexander would say, it might be nice if you gave a little thought to how you organize yourself to stand up from the chair and go to the phone. It could just be a split second of attention, but it can make a big difference in how you perform that act. And as you, I gather then that there is something in Tai Chi that's analogous to that.
Well, it's just the whole sort of manner, style, and kind of way of working in Tai Chi is continuous inhibition, which is, you know, an Alexander term. It is very much expressing what Alexander's getting at, but within, if you like, an art form. So to me, the two are absolutely very nicely interlinked.
Well, I think that's a great place to bring our conversation to an end. My guest today has been Robin Simmons. He's an Alexander technique teacher and also co-runs an Alexander technique training course in Zurich. He teaches in Zurich and in Brig, Switzerland. If anything that we've talked about interests you and you live in either of those two cities, we'll put a link to Robin's website by the interview. And we'll also put a link to a website that will give you more general information about the Alexander technique and will enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Robin, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Robert. And I also teach Tai Chi, of course, so if people are interested in that, that's
absolutely
also possible.
Tai Chi and or Alexander technique in Zurich or Brig.
That's it.